Welcome to the American Magazine Podcast. I'm joined by my colleague and friend, Father Jim Martin. Welcome, Father Jim.
Thanks, Tim. Good to be with you.
We are here to talk about a new venture for you, a ebook that was released just last month called Together on Retreat. Maybe you can introduce it to our listeners.
Sure. It's very exciting. It's a new venture that HarperCollins had suggested to me. And the idea is that there are a lot of people who are interested in doing retreats. Most of our readers and listeners will know about Ignatian prayer and praying with scripture, things like that. But it's often difficult for people to either find the time to go on a retreat, to go to a retreat house, or, you know, even it might be difficult financially to go on a retreat. So the idea with this new ebook, which uses the technology of an e-reader, you know, on things like iPads and Android phones and things like that, is to bring people on an actual retreat, is to use three scripture passages, teach them a little bit about Ignatian contemplation and prayer, and actually guide them through a real retreat. And I should point out, there's two versions. There's an enhanced version that has obviously text and photos, but also videos, kind of Q&A, as well as videos of the Holy Land to kind of get you in the mood and give you a sense of what the scripture scenes look like. And then there's a basic version, which has text and photos. And depending on what kind of e-reader you have, you can, you know, use one or the other. But the idea is to try to use modern media, all the tools of new technology to help people to pray in a new way.
You know, I went to a Jesuit school. We did retreats. I work at a place where people here are always involved in retreats. So maybe we work from the assumption that this is something people do. But in reality, there are many people who probably either can't afford a retreat or they didn't go to Catholic school. So this could be the first time for many people.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of mystery about that. You and I are familiar with that world. But I would say the vast majority of Catholics have not gone on a retreat. They might have gone away for a day with a church or something like that. But the idea of a weekend retreat, which is spent mostly in silence, or an 8-day retreat, or even more difficult for people to do, is the 30-day retreat, the Spiritual Exercises of St. Ignatius.
Yeah, I haven't done that.
Yeah, right. It's, you know, I think just time. You know, if you have, you know, the responsibilities of a family or a job, it's very difficult to get away. If you're married and have children, you know, it's hard to kind of take time away. So what I really wanted to do is to kind of allow people to experience some of the graces of a retreat in a real way. You know, I talk to them about different ways of praying, Ignatian contemplation, which is using your imagination to place yourself in the scene, Lectio Divina, which is a way of praying with scripture, but not just reading it. The ebook actually takes you through a retreat. It introduces you to prayer, and then it says, all right, here are the three scripture passages we're going to use, and says, all right, now go off and pray with them and come back and ask yourself these reflection questions. So as far as possible, it's trying to replicate the experience of a retreat, you know, for someone who might not be able to go away. And the idea would be that you would be able to do this at home, you know, or maybe on a weekend if you do have time and can't afford a retreat house, to take it with you. And so far the reaction has been really interesting, you know, and a lot of it's been from people who have never made a retreat before.
Yeah, what have they had to say?
Well, I think people are surprised that some things that they thought were beyond them, you know, Ignatian contemplation invites you to sort of imagine yourself in scripture. And I think people think that that's something only for mystics or for Jesuits, maybe, or for very holy Jesuits. But the reaction has been, you know, I've been able to do this on my own, and I feel like I went on a real retreat, you know. So it's kind of neat, especially for people that have never been. I'm very excited about it.
Now, you've been giving retreats at retreat houses for a long time. This is a ministry that many Jesuits are involved in. Do you have any kind of general guiding principles for guiding retreats? What are the important elements?
Well, that's a great question. I think that's a very good question. I think the first thing is have no expectations. When people either go away on a retreat or maybe do this ebook, to not sort of hold yourself up to this expectation that I'm going to just close my eyes and suddenly be flooded with this kind of mystical experience, or be filled with consolation, or, you know, be moved to tears. Because I think, you know, there's a sense of, it's sort of inevitable in us. We try to compare ourselves to other people. Or, oh, I heard, you know, someone did a great retreat. I'm sure mine will be just as good. And then they get disappointed. So no expectations, first of all. The second thing, I think, is to remember that it's not just you praying. It's not just you going on a retreat. And this sort of pertains to whenever you pray. There's a partner in it. You know, God is with you. And so it's not just you kind of white-knuckling it, you know, kind of clenching your fist and say, I have to sort of produce this. And I think that kind of helps people relax a little bit, that, you know, that God is with you and it's not just you. And I think the third thing would be, because we Jesuits have to always answer in threes, is that people, there are different ways to pray for different kinds of people. So there's, as I said already, Ignatian contemplation, which uses a lot of imagination. There's Lectio Divina, but there's also centering prayer, which is a lot more sort of content-free. It's a little more free-form. There's praying with nature. There's, you know, the Mass, obviously. There's rote prayer, like the Rosary. And there's no prayer that's better or worse. You know, there's just what's good for you and what helps you to relate to God. So I think those are the three most important things I tell people on retreat, because those are really kind of preconceptions that people have that, you know, I do have to kind of achieve this thing. I have to achieve it on my own, and there is a best way to pray. And that's something that I think Catholics really struggle with. So anything that they can get them to kind of let go of some of those preconceptions, you know, I think is good.
Now, when I mentioned the enhanced edition, I think is really neat because it's got video interviews with you where you kind of talk people through. So it really has the feel of an encounter with you. But also you have some videos from some of your trips as well.
Yeah, well, the three scripture passages that I've chosen, the e-retreat, as they're calling it, is actually based on a real weekend retreat that I helped direct up in Eastern Point Retreat House in Gloucester, Massachusetts. And the theme was meeting Jesus by the sea. And so myself and the other retreat director, a woman named Sister Maddie Tiberi, who's on staff up there, picked scripture passages around Jesus's ministry at the Sea of Galilee. And so for this e-retreat, the three scripture passages we have are the call of the first disciples, the miraculous catch of fish, and the breakfast by the sea at the end of John 21. And as you said, one of the things I was able to do with this book, which is pretty cool with this new technology, is right in the book, include videos. And I was in the Holy Land 2 years ago and took videos of the Sea of Galilee. So if you're trying to kind of imagine yourself there, you know, you turn the page and you push a button and you see a beautiful video of the Sea of Galilee. And as well, there are these kind of Q&A videos with me. So as I said, as far as possible, trying to replicate the retreat and even, you know, retreat on the Sea of Galilee, which is kind of fun.
Now, it's interesting that this came out at a time when there actually have been some closings of actual physical retreat houses because maybe some religious orders don't have the funds to run them. Do you think this could be an area of growth for religious congregations and other ministries?
Well, I think so. I mean, as you point out, on here on the East Coast, the New York province of the Society of Jesus just closed or announced the closing of Mount Manresa on Staten Island and St. Ignatius Retreat House on Long Island. And those are two very sort of storied retreat houses. And there's been, you know, a lot of sadness about that. You know, as you say, it is, you know, a question of money and numbers and things like that. I think people are busier. And I do think anything that we can do to spread the gospel using new media is really important, particularly as kind of the old ways, not exactly dry up, but, you know, as there are more and more kind of limitations on those things. So, yeah, I mean, the timing was kind of ironic. A number of people have commented on that. And I do think that, you know, there's no substitute for actually going on a retreat, for going away, because I think there is this need to, you know, even Jesus withdraws from the disciples when he's kind of overwhelmed. But, you know, that being said, there are some parts of the retreat that you can do on your own. You know, you don't have to be in a retreat house to pray. You can be in your bedroom, and you don't have to be on a retreat house with a spiritual director to learn about Ignatian contemplation and Lectio Divina. So that's the point of this e-retreat. It's to get people to experience those graces and, you know, and more importantly, to encounter the living God in Scripture, you know, on their own. And I think, you know, it is ironic, though, that it's coming on the heels of these closings. So maybe that's providential.
Now, do you have any tips for people who are doing this? Should they do it in a quiet room? Should they shut the door? Can they do it on the subway? Is it too loud?
That's a good question. A couple people have asked me that already. As I said, there's three scripture passages. So I see it as either over a weekend, you know, that you kind of take an extended period of time, not that you're quiet the whole weekend, or over a sort of a kind of intense day, I would say. I think that part of the book, part of the e-book, I'm myself getting used to kind of this different terminology. You know, you can read on your own anywhere. You can read, there's you know, how to pray. You can read that kind of stuff on the subway or on the train or whatever, you know, maybe even in front of the TV. But there is a part where it says, all right, now we're going to enter into the prayer. Here's the scripture passage. There's a little bit of a kind of a reflection to kind of get you into it. And it actually says on the e-retreat, and I made sure that the publisher put this there. There's a page that says, it just has a picture, it says, please take 30 to 60 minutes to pray. I mean, I wanted to be really clear. It's not just something you read. You have to actually do it. You know, like on a retreat, you will say to people, okay, now go off and, you know, be silent and pray. In that case, you really do need some quiet. I don't think, I mean, unless you're, you know, unless you're some great mystic, I can't do it. You can pray in the train, but you really need some quiet time where you can kind of relax and really focus on the prayer. But you know, as I said, it doesn't mean it's a retreat house. That could be your bedroom or a kitchen or a living room, anywhere that's quiet, and or maybe walking outside if it's quiet outside, unlike here in New York.
Right. When I did my retreats, one thing I always enjoyed was the community. So the combination of some time for quiet and being alone and studying and praying, but also to reconnect with people and meals and such. There's less of an opportunity perhaps in an e-retreat to do that, but maybe with book clubs, et cetera, that would be a way to connect with people.
Well, I know that there's some parishes that are thinking of doing it together. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that's a neat possibility. But let me ask you a question. What did you, because I think it's good for the listeners to hear from you as well. What did you like about retreat experiences in your life? What did you find sort of rewarding about them?
I did them. I went to a Jesuit high school. I did them mostly there. And a lot of it, as I said, was the community and connecting with friends in a way that you didn't at all in classroom environments or in the gym. It allowed you to be yourself a little more. So that, I think, at that kind of key age was really important. As I've gotten older, and I did one, I think a lot of people do them before you get married often, and there are different priorities there. But the attractive feature of it for me is the sense of just getting away from it all, you know, being able to kind of turn off all your devices, especially in this day and age, mm-hmm. and kind of, you know, be able to take some time in quiet and prayer. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting element of this, is that we often look at devices as kind of being elements of distraction, but here's a case where they could actually help you get some quiet in your life.
Yeah, it is funny. I mean, the one thing that I think is very distracting, as you say, you know, your iPad or your e-reader is trying to be the avenue that actually connects you with God. But, you know, I think that's the case for retreats, too. I mean, people, ironically, I started doing retreats in 1988, 25 years ago. And when we went to the Eastern Point Retreat House as Jesuit novices, it was in our first month, there were no cell phones, obviously. There was no internet in 1988. And so if anyone wanted to contact you, they had to leave a message at the front desk of the retreat house, and you would probably get it the next day. So you were really a part. These days, when I direct retreats, everybody has their smartphone, and there's two things you have to do. First of all, you have to tell people you can't use them in the house, you know, because the sound carries, and people get very nervous. And the second thing you have to do is you have to say, you know, you really can't use them. You can't, you know, you're supposed to be on retreat. And it's not just the time in prayer, the kind of formal time, the three or four prayer sessions. It's the whole time, you know. Otherwise, it does break that kind of connection between you and God. So there are a lot of challenges, I think, for people today that didn't exist 25 years ago. But I think, you know, as Jesus tried to do, you know, with the different media, you know, like the parable and the story and things like that, I think it's up to us to use these new media, you know, like we do at America, to kind of bring people into connection with God. But you're right, it is an art. The thing that, you know, is the distraction is now something that's telling you not to be distracted.
Yes, you mentioned, I mean, our mission here at America is that we are involved in a media ministry, and what you're doing is very much along those lines. So maybe you can speak a bit about how you see your ministry and how this obviously seems writing books is a piece of it, but you're also very involved on social media, and now you're getting involved in these other avenues for reaching people. So your approach seems to be, you know, whatever way we can get in touch with people, we got to use it.
Yeah, I really look at Jesus, and the sort of foundational thing for me is Jesus and his desire to meet people where they were and use anything that he could. So, I mean, Jesus uses the form of the parable, which the famous formulation by C.H. Dodd is a story or example drawn from nature or everyday life that so arrests the listener by its vividness or strangeness so as to tease the mind into active thought. So it's this kind of, but it's nature or everyday life. Oh, thank you. That took me a while, actually. And then the first take, too. So it's not beneath him to use a story, right, like the prodigal son, right, something like that, or the image of the woman sweeping her house, right, to find the coin, or the pearl of great price. And it's not been, so that's a medium, the parable. And it's not beneath him to use things like seeds or birds or the wheat, right? Something like that. They're very simple things. It's not beneath him. He's trying his best to convey the kingdom of God through these sort of basic means that people understand and with tools at his disposal. You know, later on you have St. Paul using letters, right, basically, and traveling all over the place. You have St. Augustine using autobiography. And so, you know, in every age, you know, all the way up to, say, Fulton Sheen using radio and TV and Pope John Paul using, you know, World Youth Day masses and CDs and you know, now Benedict tweeting and everything. So, you know, there's been this kind of constant movement towards using as much as we can. And I really think that it's incumbent upon us to use any means possible. And so, you know, I obviously, you know, with the books and working for America Magazine and writing articles and also doing stuff online and blogging, you know, for In All Things, but also Facebook page. I have a public Facebook page and Twitter and now this e-retreat. I think anything possible. And the other thing is, frankly, you know, this is the way to reach young people too. I mean, that's where they are. And you can, you know, be in a retreat house and you might not see a lot of young people. That's the other thing. But, you know, if you're on Twitter and Facebook, that's where they are. And, you know, Jesus didn't sit on his rear end in Capernaum and wait for people to come to him. He you know, sometimes they did. They came to him and brought people. But he got out and he went up to them. So I take a lot of inspiration from his willingness to do anything it took, you know, to get to people, even to the point of kind of offending people. Like, you know, why is he doing it in this way? You know, so I think Jesus is a pretty good model for evangelization.
Now, an ebook is different from social media in that you're not getting kind of instant feedback. But you said you have gotten some feedback. How has that come? Are people emailing you or Facebooking you?
A lot of it comes through my public Facebook page. If people are interested, it's Father James Martin. And, you know, when I post something about the e-retreat, or if I post an excerpt or something like that, or if there's like a news story that happens to mention it, people will respond and say, I just did it. I went on a retreat with you. It's kind of fun. Yeah. I mean, from all over the world. And once again, a lot of people who can't afford it. You know, the enhanced version is like $9 and the basic version is $7. So if you have a smartphone. And I got a message the other day from someone in Africa who said, I just went on a retreat with you. So there's also the sense of being able to reach people, you know, who I'd never be able to reach. And it's, you know, I think the other thing I would say in terms of misconceptions is I think people tend to think that prayer or retreats or the retreat experience is kind of beyond them, you know. And it's great to hear from people who confirm what I already know, which is that prayer is not beyond anybody.
Well, we hope this is the first of many retreats from you and from other Jesuits and people. This could be a new area of growth for the church. So, Father Jim Martin, thank you very much.
My pleasure.